Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Voice of Power broadcast. I am your host, Gary Atkins. I thank you once again for tuning in with me and our study in the book of Revelation. We are coming to the culmination. We are coming to the apex and the end of our study, and we've had a great one thus far, going through the book of Revelation, having the Lord, through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, reveal and unveil His Word to us in such a magnificent way. And I am encouraged, and I am receiving great feedback in that we are developing wonderfully in our study, and people are gaining great knowledge and strength in the Word of God. And remember, there's a special blessing to all those who study the wonderful works of this book. You know, I was realizing just the other day as I was studying the scriptures here in Revelation, preparing for today, that the book of Revelation is the only book of the Bible that Jesus Christ Himself authored. Now, we know that all scripture is inspired by God, but I believe that He individually wrote through the hands of the Apostle John in such a special way to reveal His truth to the whole world. And I just thank God for that. We're going to be in Revelation chapter 17 today and pick up there. Go verse by verse, just like we have been doing previously in the other chapters. We are coming up to the culmination of the tribulation period. We have dealt with the Antichrist, the false prophet. We have dealt with the first 3.5 years of tribulation, where the judgments of God are poured out, the seven seal judgments, the seven trumpet judgments. We have went through the seven vial judgments, which will take place after the first 3.5 years of tribulation, which is referred to in the scriptures as the Great Tribulation. Remember that. The last 3.5 years are the Great Tribulation. And always keep in mind and remember that the tribulation of these days are for the nation of Israel. I'm not saying it won't affect the whole world. I'm just saying that it's going to have its dominance in the Middle East, and the Antichrist will rule from there. I have put a supplement online on the podcast for the book of Revelation concerning the nation of Israel. If you want to go back and hear that and read that, in the podcast file there, you can find the title of it is Israel, God's Prophetic Timepiece. And I put that together for you to try to help you understand where we are and where Israel is in regards to the book of Revelation and where we are today, and seeing that these things could quickly come to pass and happen even in our day right now. And the way things are shaping up, I went over three battles that will take place concerning the nation of Israel. First off, in the message, I declared unto you that Israel has a covenant with God. God has a covenant with Israel through Abraham, a blood covenant, that He will give Abraham a people. He said, look up to the stars in the sky. And He said, feel the sand pebbles below your feet. He said, that's how many people I will give unto you, and how many people will come through your loins. And even us as Gentiles, who are not Jewish, of the Jewish faith or of the Jewish lineage by blood, Gentiles, we are a part of Abraham through Jesus Christ. And God has made a covenant with Abraham, but He has not cut off. He has not pulled away from the physical nation and the physical people of Israel. He is very much keeping His covenant with them and keeping His hand upon them and preserving them for the last days. He has protected them. In 1948, Israel became a sovereign nation under God. Once again, they were born in one day, fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah 66 and verse 18. And we can understand, verse 8 rather, and we can see that. We saw that happen. Ezekiel prophesies about the Six-Day War of 1969, where Israel was giving a great victory and gained the Golan Heights and the West Bank, and how they obtained more of the land that God had promised them. However, the culmination of their restoration is taking place even today. People from all around the world are being carried back to Israel from persecution in Europe and in South, in the Africans and in the Asiatic nations of the world. They are coming back to the land of Israel, the land of promise. Hallelujah. And God is preserving them. And remember, God told Abraham, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. But I also, in that message in Israel, God's Prophetic Timepiece, I went over three battles concerning the nation of Israel. Those three battles will take place in the very near future, I believe. The first one is Psalm 83, where the bordering nations of Israel will come against Israel, and try to destroy them, try to wipe them off the face of the earth. That's what Psalm 83 actually says. Let us conspire to remove Israel from off the face of the earth. And amongst the nations included in that battle, I believe, will be Lebanon, Syria, and it mentions these countries, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia. I believe they will come against the nation of Israel to try to destroy them. God will preserve them. I believe Israel will stand up for themselves in battle and win that battle. However, through that, I believe the Antichrist will arise on the scene, because I believe that the Antichrist will come from Syria. And I'll explain to you a little further why I believe that today, actually. But I believe he will come from Syria, and I believe that he will sign a covenant. Well, I know he will sign a covenant with the nation of Israel, according to the book of Daniel, for 1 week or 7 years. And we know that is the time of Jacob's trouble, or Daniel's 70th week referred to in Scripture, or the 7 years of tribulation referred to in the Revelation, or two periods of 42 months. Now, I believe that from this battle of Psalm 83, I believe it could happen right before the rapture of the church or right after. I'm not really sure which, but I believe it could be either or. But I believe from that, possibly after the rapture, because I believe the Antichrist will bring peace not only to the Middle East, but even hope to all the world, because of all the tragedies that have taken place from people being raptured and taken off the earth, and the chaos that will ensue around the world. Just think about it. And the Antichrist will come on the scene and bring peace to the Middle East from that battle. And I believe that in that he will have conquered three nations. I believe he will have conquered, number one, Syria from where he comes, number two, Jordan, and number three, Saudi Arabia, the bordering nations of Israel there. I believe he will conquer them, because if you remember, in the book of Daniel, the Bible says he has seven heads and but ten horns. So in other words, he has a ten-nation kingdom there in the Middle East during the time of tribulation, which I believe will compose of a lot of European countries, probably African countries, and possibly Iraq. But he will definitely have Syria, Lebanon, he will have Jordan, Saudi Arabia, the bordering countries, and probably Greece, Italy, and some of those European countries there. But, certainly, I believe he will come from Syria, and he will have obtained those three, because if you remember, the Scripture tells us that he will conquer three nations of the ten. And the other seven will make up, of course, the Revised Roman Empire. They will just submit to him as their leader, governmentally and religiously, I believe. And I believe it will be some of those surrounding areas of Israel. But that's just my opinion. Once again, you can disagree with me, and you'll hear more about this if you go back and listen to Israel, God's prophetic timepiece. It's just some things I believe the Lord has revealed to me, and I've put them together to kind of help you know where we are in Revelation and how close we are to these things being fulfilled, and how God will bring his judgment as well as his mercy upon the land of Israel and the people of the Jewish lineage. Now, the second battle I referred to was the battle of Gog and Magog from Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, a battle that is yet to be fulfilled. And if you will read closely in those two chapters, and I encourage you to go back and read all these chapters. When you go back and read those two chapters, you will see that there are none of the bordering countries bordering Israel, such as Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and Syria, mentioned there. And the reason they're not mentioned is because I believe this battle of Psalm 83 will take place before that. And the battle of Gog and Magog consists of Persia, which is modern-day Iran, and Russia. It's Meshach and Tobolsk, which is the former Soviet states. I believe Russia will head up this battle and this attack against Israel. Russia will team up with Iran. And ladies and gentlemen, once again, we can see this in the news today, how Russia is working with Syria and Iran in a lot of ways that people don't know about, but you can't hear about some of it on the news. But we definitely see how Syria and that evil dictator Assad has killed his own people, ladies and gentlemen. And we could see how very easily these things that I'm referring to could come to pass. And I'm not saying he's the Antichrist. I'm just saying that we could see some of these things developing in the world today. But the Battle of Gog and Magog, Russia will come down with Iran, as well as with other countries mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and 39. I believe Libya is mentioned there. Of course, Iran, Russia, and several other countries will come down against the nation of Israel to try to destroy them. And the Bible says they will come down against Israel as a cloud. But then God will put hooks in their jaws, and God will preserve them supernaturally. I believe that with fire, the Bible says. And I believe, and it's my opinion, once again, this is an opinion of how this, I believe it will work out and take place. and it's a high possibility. I'm not saying it's guaranteed, but it's just my opinion. I believe the Antichrist will take credit for that battle. God will preserve Israel in that battle, but the Antichrist will take credit for it. Because if you remember, we read in Revelation where the false prophet and the Antichrist are able to perform lying signs and wonders. And they will be able to call fire down from heaven. Now, I believe they'll use that as their ticket to gain even more of a following in people taking the mark of the beast, especially with Israel, deceiving those in the nation of Israel and around the Middle East and even around the world, taking credit for that battle. I believe the Antichrist will say, hey, I called upon God and he delivered with fire. He delivered you, Israel, from Russia and Iran and these other countries. I believe he'll do that. Now, I'm not saying that's guaranteed. The Scripture doesn't say he will do that, but the Scripture does say he will perform lying signs and wonders, and he will deceive and seduce people in the Middle East there. I believe he'll do it that way and take credit for what God has done. And then, after he does that, I believe he will set himself up in the temple of God and call himself God in Jerusalem. Now, reason I say that is because I believe the battle of Gog and Magog that I just referred to from Ezekiel 38 and 39, I believe it will take place at the beginning of tribulation, right after the battle of Psalm 83. Reason I believe that is because the Bible says in Ezekiel 38 or 39, I'm not sure which one, that it will take 7 years to burn the weapons from that major destructive battle of Gog and Magog. Now, and I believe it will happen throughout the whole 7-year period of tribulation that they will burn and destroy and dispose of those weapons. But, and once again, that's my opinion. You don't have to believe that. I'm not saying that that's written in stone, so to say, but however, I believe that's what I've gleaned from the Scriptures, and I believe that's the way it'll happen. And I believe Gog and Magog represents the red horse of the four horsemen of the apocalypse in Revelation chapter 6. But there's a third battle as well that will take place when the nations of the world, mostly I believe the Asiatic nations of China, North and South Korea, possibly Vietnam, Laos, a lot of those places there, and even possibly more European countries, and possibly Africa. Egypt could be mentioned there as well, possibly coming against Israel, and possibly other countries around the world will come against Israel in one last battle to try to destroy the Jewish state and destroy the people of God, which is called and referred to in Scripture as the Battle of Armageddon. And I believe that at first they will come against the Antichrist in Israel. I believe that he will have called himself God. People are tired of what he's doing. And even his own people who are under his authority there in the Middle East, they'll get tired of what he's doing. And we'll read about it here in Revelation 17 when we get into it, but how Babylon, that rebellious religious and government system, people have getting tired of it around the world. They're coming against the Antichrist, and in some way he conspires and seduces them into believing that they should come on his team in order to destroy Israel. Don't know how he'll do it, but he'll do it. And of course, he's coming against God. And then, of course, the Lord returns, sets his foot upon Mount Zion, and declares himself as King of Kings and Lord of Lords at his second coming. And we, the church, will be with him. Praise God. So let's get into Revelation 17 without further ado. But I do want you to go back and listen to that Israel, God's prophetic timepiece, because it really puts into perspective the book of Revelation and where we are with prophecy. And I'm not here trying to tell you that I am a master of biblical prophecy. I'm just a guy who studies and tries to see God's word and try to see it develop. And I feel that the Lord has revealed some things to me. But once again, a lot of what I'm saying is opinionated, and you can agree or disagree. That's all right. And I'd like to hear from you. If you have any views or opinions concerning what I've said, maybe you can enlighten me in some way. Email me. You can get my email address there at the website, voiceofpower.org. And you can email me, and I get it all. I read all the emails. I make sure I do that and respond to you, and we can help each other. The Bible says iron sharpens iron, because we're here to preach the gospel and teach the word of God. Amen. Revelation chapter 17, let us look together. And verse 1, and there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now, let us understand that here in verse 1, he says, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore. That great whore referred to there is the religious system of the time of tribulation that sitteth upon many waters. Waters there represents the people, not drinking water or H2O, but it represents people. When the Bible says there was a sea of people, the waters here represent people, the masses that this great whore, the religious system of the last days, and many people believe that it's going to be Islam. Before years passed, many believed that it was going to be Catholicism. Nobody really knows. The way things are going today, especially in the Middle East and even around the world, we could assume very quickly that it is the religion of Islam that will be the counterpart of God and come against God in the last day, because they are, of course, coming against the nation of Israel and Jews, and, well, they're really coming against the world today with the attacks from ISIS and the other extremist, radical Islamic groups that are in the world today. But we could assume that very strongly that it could be Islam, which is the major religious system of this day. Another reason I believe that is because Islam is the only religion that runs the government. If you notice in the Middle East, the government is ran by Islam, the religion Islam, through Islam. You take America, we're not ran by Christianity, nor does Christianity run the country. We have separation of church and state, but if you go to the Middle East, they are all together in one, rolled up into one package, and you have Islam running those countries, running the masses of the people. And they're deceiving the people, of course, even from birth in a lot of ways. And I believe that's what it's referring to here in Revelation 17 and verse 1. Sitteth upon the many waters, the great whore representing the religion of this day, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Now, let us go back here. And let us look once again. And he carried away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, of course, this beast represents the Antichrist, who is embodied by Satan himself. He is full of Satan. Satan has taken him captive and taken control of the Antichrist's faculties and his being, and he is inspired and indwelled by Satan himself. Now, we have to remember, too, that the Antichrist is just a man. He's not a spirit. He's a man, and he will die. The Bible says that he will die, and he will be cast into the lake of fire, and he will be deceived by the enemy, and that Satan himself will embody him as the Antichrist, and he is represented here as the beast. And the woman sits upon the beast, the woman being the religious system, the beast representing the Antichrist, and the government and the system of government of that day. Notice in verse 4. Verse 3 at the end there, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. There we see again the 7 heads and the 10 horns, the government of the Antichrist. He will have 10 nations under his rule, under his thumb there in the Middle East, 3 of which, that's why it says 7, 3 of which he will have to conquer himself, and the other 7 will just readily hand over their government and their country to him. And of course, I referred to you earlier, reference that I believe the 3 will be Syria, from which he comes, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia, from the first battle mentioned in the Middle East for the last days in Psalm 83, and you can go back and read that and hear the other podcast that I gave on Israel, God's prophetic timepiece. Now, let us look at verse number 4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones, pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And this is just referring to the wealth that the Antichrist and his government will have during this time. And I believe it's very safe to say that through the mark, because the scripture says that you won't be able to buy or trade without taking the mark of the beast. Some way, somehow, he can set up an economic system where you have to be a worshiper of him. You have to take the mark of which he puts out in the Middle East at this time in order to buy, sell, or trade, and even live and survive during this time, ladies and gentlemen. And of course, if you don't, you're going to be martyred and killed because you're not bowing down to the Antichrist, who calls himself God. And he will have obtained wealth by this, I believe, because he's ruling these countries, and he will be a very wealthy political leader in the Middle East during this time. And I believe with the countries that he has, like Saudi Arabia and Jordan, there will be a lot of money coming from oil there that he will obtain, and even other monies coming from around the world, possibly. And he will set it up somehow to where, in order for you to have any of that money, you have to take the mark of the beast and worship him. And I'm not saying this will happen around the world. I believe it will impact the Middle East heavily, but it could possibly be around the world. We don't really know, but I believe it's the time of Jacob's trouble, the time that Israel is judged by God and revealed, and he reveals his mercy as well. But I believe this will be the condition of the wealth of the Antichrist. Verse 5, "And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and the ten horns." So the angel is telling John here that he's going to tell him what's taking place here. And John puts it in his words under the inspiration of the Spirit what is happening. So we have the woman, the great whore, which is the religious system of this day. Many believe it's Islam. Could be anything else. I don't know. It could be something we've never heard of before. Who knows? But many believe, many scholars believe today, and many biblical prophecy teachers teach and believe that this religious system will be Islam, that it will, because it is the reigning religion in the Middle East today, and there are a lot of extremist groups which are trying to take over the world, and of course they say they have a prophet coming, the Mahdi, which is the Messiah to the Arabs, and that he will come and help take over the world, and with their jihadist extremism, and of course this could very well picture the Antichrist. I'm not saying that for sure, that it's scriptural, but we can, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept, we can put things together and, you know, come to a determination that that's a good possibility, that Islam will be that great whore, that religion. And they set upon and deceive the masses, the waters representing the people, and sets upon a scarlet-colored beast, this beast representing the Antichrist and his government and his world system there in the Middle East, inspired by Satan himself, having seven heads and ten horns. Verse 8, "The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is." And I'm going to explain that yet is in just a moment, because John is writing, of course, from his perspective. But notice verse 5, "Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots." Why does it say Babylon? Well, Babylon represents all rebellion when it concerns government and religion toward God. Babylon comes from, of course, the Tower of Babel, when men and women conspired together to rebel against God in the great Tower of Babel, rebelling against God and his direction. Of course, God had to scatter them throughout the world. And of course, you know, you have to realize that every government that comes against God's people and comes against God is a spirit of Babylon. It's the spirit of Satan trying to rebel against God. And of course, you know, God uses nations and kings and kingdoms to further the advancement of his entire plan upon this earth, ladies and gentlemen. He has used wicked nations to obtain his purpose. Think about the Babylonians when they took over the nation of Israel and Judah in 586 BC, how that God used that nation of Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar to take over his people because they lived in disobedience to him, and this was part of the judgment of God. And he used the Persians to take over the Babylonians, which were in power over the Jews. And then he used Alexander the Great and the Greeks to take over the Persian Empire. And of course, we know about Alexander the Great, how he conquered the known world at the time, and how that he set out to do that. Of course, he died at a young age. And then, of course, when he died, his four generals took over, and eventually all of that rolled into what we call the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire thrived for many years, and it was in power when Jesus Christ was born upon this earth, ladies and gentlemen. And we will see a revised Roman Empire during the time of tribulation. And God used all of these government systems, which they're not all called Babylon, but they are in the spirit of Babylon because they were oppressing God's people and serving idol gods and not serving the one true God, Jehovah, and God used them to do that. And he will also use the Antichrist. Now, I want you to hear what this preacher is saying today. He will use the Antichrist in the last days during the tribulation period to fulfill his purpose. The Antichrist, yes, he will have a religion. He will have a government that he runs and an economy system that he runs through the religion of which he has, which is possibly Islam. And he will use that. God will use that to fulfill his purpose upon this earth. Praise God. They are under the thumb and the hand and the control of Almighty God. Hallelujah. That assures me tonight. That assures me that God is who he says he is. And he will do what he said he would do. And the reason John is referring to it in the spirit here as Babylon, because it's a Babylonian system. It's rebellion against God. It's rebellion against God's people and oppressing God's people. Let us look at verse 9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. In other words, that religious system is involved upon these seven mountains. Of course, verse 9 says, on which the woman sitteth. Now, verse 10, we need to understand this here. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Now, notice verse 11. And I'm going to go back and explain all of this. Verse 11 says, and the beast that was, and is not, even he is the eighth. So he's the eighth kingdom. The Antichrist and his government will be the eighth kingdom, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. Now notice, let's go back to verse 10. And there are seven kings, five are fallen. What five had fallen? Well, let's go back in time. Who was oppressing the Israelites in the beginning? Well, we know it was the Egyptians, right? Under Pharaoh's mighty hand. And God delivered them through Moses. They walked across the Red Sea on dry ground, and God preserved them and brought them to freedom and victory. Then after that, it was the Assyrians. The Assyrians came and conquered northern Israel. And then, of course, the Babylonians conquered Judah, ransacked the temple, stole the Ark of the Covenant in the temple, and ransacked all of the temple furnishings and took people back to Babylon and oppressed them there. And then after Babylon, that was the third one. Then the fourth one was the Medo-Persian Empire that took over Babylon. And then after that, of course, was Alexander the Great and the Greeks. That is the five kingdoms that have come in the spirit of Babylon. And that is the five kingdoms that have already fallen here, referencing in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 10, where he says, and there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. Now, notice he says the one is in verse 10. The one that is was the Roman Empire, because the Roman Empire was in power at the time John was writing Revelation on the Isle of Patmos. The Roman government had put him on the Isle of Patmos to die a martyr's death, and God preserved him and kept him whole there to write the book of Revelation. That's what is referred to as the one that is. And notice at the end of the verse in verse 10, and the other is not yet come. That's the eighth kingdom. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the reason it says he's of the seven is because he's coming in the spirit of Babylon. He's coming in the spirit of the Medo-Persians. He's coming in the spirit of Alexander the Great and the Greeks. He's coming in the spirit of the Roman Empire, in that he wants to conquer the world and conquer the people of God and destroy and oppress the Jewish people of God in the nation of Israel. That's his desire. That's the Antichrist's desire. He will be the eighth kingdom. And we believe this eighth kingdom will be the rise and power of the Islamic State that will conquer the Middle East and try to oppress and destroy the nation of Israel. And we heard Iran's former leader declare that he wanted to push Israel off of the map into the ocean. And people are saying this in the Middle East today. And that's just what the Apostle John is seeing here in the book of Revelation. Verse 12, and the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. In other words, they don't have full authority over their nations, but they have delegated authority from the Antichrist. In other words, the Antichrist has these ten kingdoms in the Middle East around the nation of Israel that he is ruling, And I believe his headquarters will be in Syria, and then he will move his headquarters to Jerusalem in the midpoint of the tribulation after the first 3.5 years, because if you'll remember, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible says that he sets himself in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, and he will reveal himself as God and demand to be worshipped in the temple of God in Jerusalem. I believe he'll set his headquarters up in Jerusalem there at the midpoint of tribulation. And verse 13, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. Hallelujah. For he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. In other words, these 10 nations that the Antichrist has his thumb upon and is ruling with a rod of iron, notice it says that that they hate the whore, they hate the religion, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will. Now, I want you to see that, because what we have here, we have these 10 nations that the Antichrist are ruling, and they come to the place to where they hate this whore, this religious and government system that the Antichrist has, because he's oppressing them. He's just using them to fulfill his purpose in destroying Israel. I believe, just like every other religion, they come to their wits' end. They see that there is no end. They see that the only end is a dead end, and that Jesus Christ is the only way, truth, and life. I really believe they will see that, and they will come against the Antichrist at the Battle of Armageddon. Notice verse 17, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Let us go on into chapter 18 and verse 1 and just pick up there, because it's going right in there. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. And the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. My friend, this religious system of the last days, every anti-God religious system, every anti-God government that has come against God from the beginning of Egypt all the way until the time of the Antichrist government reigning during this period, will come to a fallen state under the hand of Almighty God, and the rock that is cut out shall destroy these other 8 kingdoms that have dwelt upon the earth, because Babylon is fallen and is become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Verse 3, for all nations have drunk of the wine of her wrath and of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. So listen, the Antichrist and his kingdom during the tribulation period, they're going to be wealthy. They're going to have money. They're going to have goods. They're going to have product. They're going to be able to make big trade deals and offer substantial amounts of resources around the world. That's how he will gain the armies of the Asiatic nations, I believe, to come against the nation of Israel with him, because of his goods and his money that he has through Mystery Babylon here, the great whore, the religious and government system of the last days. Verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. So he's once again, God is giving people a time to repent, a chance and an opportunity to repent and accept him as Savior and Lord. Verse 6, reward her even as she is rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. And the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am now widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, and mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, and strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. So notice it says right here in one day that Babylon will fall. All these eight kingdoms that I have referred to you as oppressing the nation of Israel and the people of God, and when they do that, they are oppressing God, the apple of God's eye. They are coming against the Lord. And God says, I will destroy Babylon, the great whore, the religious and governmental system of the Antichrist will I destroy, and one day, and God will do it, brethren, God will do it. He will judge Babylon. Verse 9 of chapter 18, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and have lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off, and the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgments come. It's coming swiftly, ladies and gentlemen. God will judge Babylon. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and of fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and of iron and marble. And verse 13 goes on to express the other valuables that the Antichrist will have in his kingdom, such as cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and oil and fine flour. And verse 14 declares, And the fruits that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off, for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company in the ships and the sailors and as many as have traded by sea with her stood afar off. Verse 18 declares, And cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. My friend, every kingdom that has oppressed the people of God, starting with the Egyptians, to the Assyrians, to the Babylonians, to the Greeks under Alexander the Great, to the Roman Empire, all the way up into this eighth kingdom referred to in Revelation chapter 17 as the government and the religion, the great whore of the Antichrist, during this time shall be brought to desolation, and not within 1 hour, in a very quick time period, God will judge Babylon. Verse 20, Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, referring to Babylon, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, for thy merchants were great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. I want you to see that right there in verse 23. By thy sorceries were all nations deceived. That word sorceries in the Greek is pharmakia, which is where we get our word pharmacy from. I really believe that in these last days, the opiates of prescription medication will be used and will be developed to control and manipulate the people under the armies of the Antichrist and under the government and religion of the Antichrist in some way, shape, or form. I believe this spirit of pharmakia is at work in our country of America today. I believe it's at work around the world. Prescription medication seems to be the answer to all aches and ills of our society. But can I tell you that Jesus Jesus Christ can set you free today. I just feel impressed in my spirit to minister on this for just a moment to you who are listening under the sound of my voice. If you are addicted to a prescription medication, God can set you free, and He can set you free today. This spirit of pharmakia doesn't have to have control over you, and I bind that spirit and rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and you shall be set free by God's power. But the Antichrist will use this in the last day. And verse 24, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. You have to remember that Babylon, representing here the religious and the religious system and the government system that the Antichrist will head up during the 7 years of tribulation, will control the masses. They will manipulate the masses, denying with lying signs and wonders. And they will martyr those who do not bow down to worship the Antichrist, nor take his mark. And they will be martyred for the Lord, and that blood will be upon their heads. But God, my friend, will judge Babylon. God will judge this religious system and the government of the Antichrist during this last day and hour, when the Lord shall return and set his foot upon Mount Zion and bring judgment upon Babylon the Great. For Babylon is fallen. Well, that concludes chapters 17 and 18. I hope and pray that God has revealed his word to you in a mighty way. Just to concise everything that we've studied tonight, just remember that Babylon here is referred to as the eighth kingdom of eight kingdoms, number one being Egypt, that oppressed Israel under Pharaoh. And of course, we know that Moses, used by God, delivered his people. The second was Assyria, who took over northern Israel, and Babylon, who took over Judah, and the rest of Israel ransacked the temple and took captive Jewish people back to Babylon. In 586 BC, then came the Medo-Persian Empire, and they conquered Babylon, and of course allowed the Jews to come back and rebuild their temple and walls, and had some mercy upon them. But then, of course, they were conquered and overran by Alexander the Great and the Greeks. And then from there, the Roman Empire developed up until the time of the birth of Christ. And these kingdoms ruled and reigned over Israel, the people of God. And this last kingdom, this kingdom of the Antichrist, will rise up during the 7 years of tribulation and will put a thumb and an iron fist upon the nation of Israel and will persecute them. And the Antichrist will bring great devastation upon the people of God if they do not bow down to worship him nor take his mark. And my friend, you can mark God's word, it shall happen. But Babylon will fall. This rebellious government, this rebellious religious system that shall be established in the last day shall fall by the power and the word of Almighty God. And remember that many believe that this great whore of Babylon, this religious system of the Antichrist, will be the Islamic faith, the Islamic religion, the Islamic extremists which we face today, and it quite possibly could be. But don't get all involved and mixed up with trying to figure out what it will be. Just get involved in trying to maintain your faith in Jesus Christ and placing your faith in His Word so that you don't have to be here to witness this devastation that shall come upon this people planet in the last days. My friend, God wants to reach out and touch your life today. If you want to accept Jesus Christ and you want to go out of here on the first load in the rapture of the church before all of this devastation takes place upon the earth, say this simple prayer with me. Just say, Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. I am in need of your saving power, and I ask thee by thy grace to come down and forgive me of my sins. And I confess you as Savior and Lord. My friend, if you prayed that simple prayer by faith, I believe God reached down and took that heart of stone and made it a heart of flesh, and that He has made you a new man and a new woman in Jesus Christ. And I want you to write to me. I want you to send me an email and just tell me that God has touched your sin-sick heart and changed your life by the power of God and through His holy word. And you can go to my website at voiceofpower.org, and there's a link there to email me, and I read all the emails, and I'll respond, and I'll agree with you in prayer that God will use you mightily in this last day to bring about His advancement of His kingdom in your life and in this world. Amen. And keep me in your prayers as well, if you will. We are taking the gospel around the world through podcast, and we also have a radio ministry that we preach the gospel and declare the word of God. And we On the weekends, we're preaching the gospel in churches and bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people. So keep us in your prayers that God will use the Voice of Power ministry and Gary Atkins ministries around this world to declare God's goodness. And he's doing it, and he'll continue to do so. And if you feel so led to give financially, that would be greatly appreciated. Just whatever the Lord lays upon your heart, you can make checks payable to Voice of Power Ministries, and you can mail them to P.O. Box 272, Bethania, North Carolina. That's Bethania, North Carolina 27010. And I look forward to hearing from you, and may God richly bless you. And I want you to be back when we get into Revelation 19, because my friend, that's when the Lord himself shall come for the second coming, and he shall reveal himself as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He won't be coming upon a donkey as he did during the week of Passion when he came into Jerusalem and they waved palm branches and sang Hosanna in the highest. And he came that time on a donkey, and he came in peace to bring peace to the earth and to bring peace to the people who would place their faith in him. But this second time around, my friend, he's coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and as the mighty conquering King. Hallelujah. And he will destroy the armies of the Antichrist and the armies of the world that come against him and Jerusalem at the Battle of Armageddon. And we're going to read about that. And we're going to go on into the new heaven and new earth and the new Jerusalem that John saw coming down from God out of heaven. And it's going to be a joyous occasion. But until then, God bless you, and remember, the just shall live by faith.